Yo, 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 it's Greg Friel from Freelance Music and Media here with the legend that is Darren Saul in Sydney.
You're too kind, mate. You're too kind.
How are you, sir? You all right?
Yeah, I'm doing very well. Not as good as you. You just look like you've stepped off the beach from the French Riviera.
I have a very small window set behind me. Whereas I have a construction site on that side, and here it looks nice. So yeah, no, it's smoke and mirrors, dear boy, smoke and mirrors. Yeah, so we caught up maybe 6 to 8 weeks ago now.
Yeah, really? Time has flown, my God.
Crazy. We touched base talking about all things from Prince. Of course. To branding and marketing and social media, which is our area. And it's just been such a strange time. It's a weird time loop because it's kind of like it's moving so slowly but moving so quickly.
Yes, I agree with you. Lockdown has just flown, but it's been 3, 4, 5 months for us, and it's just almost like that.
I mean, I had somebody say the other day, the first couple of months of lockdown, it was like, this is going really slow. You're literally counting the days and you're like, okay, it's week 4, you know, that kind of thing. And then June and July just disappeared. I don't know what it is. It's a weird time trick. I don't know what it is.
Weird time.
But how have you been coping with the whole thing? You've been all right?
Yeah, look, I've been pretty good. You know, in Sydney, we're just starting to, you know, get out a bit more and work a little bit more. I am in particular, but, you know, I'm still being very mindful of being as cautious as I can be. And, you know, and just not doing things that I don't need to do, only doing the bare necessities. But at least I've been out and about doing a bit of work with people, but social distancing, which has been good.
Yeah. How do you guys approach the whole mask wearing thing? Is that an issue over there? Or is there some resistance to that? Or
in Sydney, a lot of people are starting just recently because we had a little bit of a re-spike. So everybody's jumping on the masks and everybody's starting to wear the masks. But in Melbourne, for example, it's absolutely mandatory because their situation is not as great as ours.
Right.
Sydney, you know, we're just on the cusp and we're, you know, but people are wearing the masks, which is good when they go out. Which is nice.
Yeah, I mean, it's just such a strange thing. I don't know about you guys, but we've had so many mixed messages from the government and everything from the start. It was kind of like, don't wear a mask, wear a mask, don't wear a mask. And you're like, okay, what's going on, you know? And we initially had the, masks aren't going to do you any good. And then now it's like, no, you have to wear a mask. Yeah. And you're like, so, but I think, caution more than anything else. You know, if there's a chance that it can help, well, guess what? I think I'd much rather wear a mask than be on a ventilator.
Yep, 100%. I totally agree.
You know, it's just kind of being sensible. But so how are you finding with clients and that kind of thing? I'm certainly finding that at the start of lockdown, there was a lot of call for people. People were just kind of going, "Oh my God, I know I should be online more. Yep. I know I should be doing more content and, you know, but how do I go about this?" Are you finding you're still getting a lot of people annoying you in that regard?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and one thing that's really interesting in the last 3, 4 months, I don't know whether I'm imagining it or not, but I seem to feel that the attention and the energy of people on social media is just through the roof. Are you finding the same thing?
Yes. It's a weird one. It's because I've kind of been in sort of two sort of different headspaces. As you know, there's my music side of things and there's the marketing side of things. Yep. So rather than utterly confuse people at the moment, I kind of took the foot off the gas in terms of doing the marketing business side of things. I'm still doing that, but I'm not going heavy on social with content to do with that.
Gotcha.
Because I've just put this record out and it's utterly confusing if I'm kind of talking about this and then and that. You know,
and it's and it, for everybody out there, it's a fantastic record. So please make sure you tell everybody how to find it.
Thank you. But yeah, so I'm kind of like, so I haven't been doing podcasts and that kind of stuff because, you know, that's kind of one area. And then there's this. And I do think people just do get confused really easily. So, but certainly on LinkedIn in particular, there's some friends of mine who they're destroying on LinkedIn. Yeah. Literally, you know, they're putting a post out and I'm like, oh, I can't believe the level of engagement on this.
Absolutely.
And I'm kind of like, no disrespect to them, but I'm like, why? You know, it's not like it's massively valuable or anything like the content that they're sharing. It's more kind of like, I'm doing this. This is happening just now. And you're kind of like, all right, okay. Yeah. But it's kind of getting loads of comments, loads of likes. I'm like, strange.
I just feel that there's so much attention on social media at the moment. Everybody's pumping out content. Everybody's marketing, and you know, and so they should be, but I'm just feel like all of a sudden in the last 3-4 months, everybody's just woken up to the fact that social media is a powerful tool. It's kind of,
absolutely.
All of a sudden, just
I think the thing is, it's really, really funny. The good thing is that I've had a lot of people who have been to my social media workshops who are now doing all of the things that I said for them to do.
Excellent.
In terms of content, which they didn't do straight after the workshop.
Okay.
But you know, it was like, you know, 6 months on, all of a sudden they've finally got the confidence to do it. Yep. And there's just a couple of people in particular who are just smashing it. They're putting out a video every day and they're coming on and guess what? They're getting clients.
Yeah. And that actually brings up a really good point. I mean, you know, I do a bit of, I do some webinars with social media. You do a lot of webinars with social media. And before we started this session, we were just having a little chat. And you mentioned that a lot of the questions you get on your webinars always seem to be the same.
Yeah.
And I find exactly the same thing. So maybe let's chat a bit about, it'd be cool to chat a bit about what you're finding people really need. What are people desperate for that they seem to be confused about?
I think the thing is, more than anything else, is everybody's always looking for, we used the expression before we came on, like a magic bullet, something that's going to be the secret sauce, the thing that's going to suddenly make everything click into place.
Yeah.
And it's very, very rarely is it one singular piece of content or something like that happens. It's the cumulative effect of loads of content over a longer period of time.
Yep.
And it's a longer brand build. It's not sales. Yep. And it's that distinction between social media for brand and brand marketing rather than a sales tactic.
100%. And everybody always says, well, does it get me results? Are you seeing things happening? Are you seeing your efforts being rewarded? And I always have to say, it's a long game. Yes, I get a lot of great feedback along the way. I do have some rewards, but it's something that you have to dig into and be prepared to be patient.
I remember when I first started doing podcasts about 3 years ago.
Yep.
And I'd only been doing it maybe 3 months. And I remember somebody saying to me, so, you know, what are your listener figures like? You know, what, you know, how's it going? And I said to them, ask me in 18 months.
Nice.
And they went, what? I'm like, yep. You know, and the thing is, for me, what ended up happening was after about 6 months of doing it, what was happening was, like, locally in the business sort of networking scene, I just became known as the podcasting guy, the guy that does podcasts. Right. So then I ended up doing podcasts for other businesses and picking up a podcasting package together for them.
Yep.
And that wouldn't have come about if I hadn't been doing the podcast for myself. So, I mean, it's, you know, there's a long-term brand build strategy, but in terms of what ends up happening from it, that, you know, are little offshoots of potential business or whatever, then
you
don't necessarily plan for them. I had no plans to put together a podcasting package to do that for businesses. I hadn't thought about it in those terms. But then when it presented itself to me, I was like, well, that's a way to go.
Yeah.
So, and yet, I mean, you just end up doing so many things just because that would work. You know, I don't see why that wouldn't work. But yet, back to your original point, I mean, people, they're always looking for that, like I say, that sort of the magic bullet thing, but they don't have patience. They're always, you know, the answer to most questions is patience.
100%.
Just wait longer, spend yep. more time doing it.
Yep.
Consistency, being consistent with your approach and what it is that you're doing. And I think that's the hardest because, I mean, we're all dealing with everything else that we're doing, you know, in our businesses,
definitely.
But also at the moment with life, you know, obviously it's incredibly complex and yep. not straightforward.
Yeah.
But, you know, and sometimes life does get in the way, you know. But I think it's not overly judging yourself on, I haven't posted in the past 2 weeks. Well, because you've been getting on with your life, fair enough.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not going to completely, massively, adversely affect everything in your business. If you just get back to it whenever you can. And it's, if people are sort of falsely judging themselves against some huge corporate or somebody who's a large figure, like say Gary Vee, who has,
yep.
you know, a massive team of people that are pumping out that content.
Yep.
Now, you know, you can't compete with that unless you've got the resources to do so. So, I mean, if you're just one person trying to attempt to do something along the lines of what Gary Vee is doing, all you'd be doing is creating content.
Yep.
You know, and you just wouldn't be able to do anything else. But I think it comes down to patience, consistency, and engagement. You know, that, and it's always that question people always ask, how do I get people to engage more with my content? I'm like, well, for a start, don't be boring as whatever. But most people are really, really boring.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, I wouldn't watch you for an hour. I wouldn't watch you for 20 minutes. I wouldn't watch you for 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's create engaging content, but then also engage. I mean, it's the thing that we both tell people all the time is, well, if you want to be engaging, you need to engage with the people within the community.
Yep, definitely.
More than anything else.
It's almost like the old saying, a friendship is a two-way street.
Yeah.
Exactly the same with social media. If you're not showing some interest in some other people, they're not going to show interest in you.
Yeah. I use this really, really cheesy metaphor. I mean, me, cheesy. Well, it just doesn't happen. But I was on a call with a client, and I was talking to him. I went, actually, you know what? Actually, as cheesy as that sounds, that actually perfectly explains what it is I'm trying to say. Because we were talking about how Facebook engagement, just how it's just organically, it's just really, really hard to get people to engage with your content and all your thing. And you have maximum 2% of people who like your page will actually see your content. And I said, yeah, the trick here, especially if you're a business, is to engage in Facebook groups. I said, so the way I explained it was, if you think that you as your business, you have your business page, and the way you exist is kind of like, it's kind of like you're in a cottage in a field in the middle of nowhere.
Right.
And nobody actually knows that you're there.
Yep.
But whenever you go into the village, yep. and meet all the locals and engage with them, then they're like, oh, you live up there. Guess what? Then they actually know where you are and who you are and what you do. And then they find your page.
I love that.
It's so cheesy, but it,
so,
but it's,
so going
but it's
to the
true.
Village is like going to the group.
Going to the group. So, but, and I said, if you start thinking of it like that as community, you know, and that's the whole thing. It's Facebook is meant to be a community. And if you are engaging in that group or another group, the more groups that you're in, the more people are finding out about who you are. So it's all of these connecting strands.
Yep. I love it.
And that's the thing. It's like, you could just be in that cottage in the middle of nowhere and nobody knows you're there.
Yeah.
And that's people saying, well, I've posted on my page and I don't get any engagement. I'm like, yeah, because nobody really knows that you're there in the first place.
Yeah.
You know,
you're not, so being,
I mean,
you're not being engageable.
Exactly. So, yeah. I mean, even like taking that to like some of the engagement that I'm doing with like my music at the moment, I am constantly posting in groups.
Yeah.
And you know, different music groups. And especially with the first single, because it was to do with the whole lockdown situation. And the album's called Love and Lockdown anyway. I'm posting in a lot of lockdown groups. Yep. To do with entertainment and that kind of stuff. So people are going to be curious in the first place because of that. So apply that to, you know, the business community, and it's, well, where are your tribe? You know, where are the people that are going to be interested in your content?
Definitely.
So, yeah, as cheesy as that, you know, metaphor is, I'm kind of like, yeah, it works. It makes sense. I think it helps illustrate the point.
Yeah.
You know, that you're anonymous otherwise, really, because yeah. it's this huge, vast landscape that everyone's trying to navigate. And we don't have a map. Wow, that was a really extended metaphor.
But I really love that analogy as well, you know, of the you being alone in the cottage and then you going into the village
to yeah.
connect with the community. I think that's so powerful. And that's something that I always am drumming into everybody's heads as well, is to remember to use your groups, because a lot of people mm-hmm. forget about the power of the groups. I think of a group as an extension of my audience in a way. Yeah. And whatever I want to do, you know, whatever strong messages I want to put out on my page, I'll also put it out on some groups, because that draws people back to me. And it's a huge missed opportunity if you really don't leverage those groups, because they have potentially hundreds of thousands of people in an audience worldwide.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So no, absolutely.
Quite amazing. Yeah, I agree.
But I think certainly if you're looking at engagement, and if, you know, when people are kind of like trying to kind of second guess the algorithm, or, you know,
yeah,
I think groups are like, if you're looking for the secret sauce, then I think that's kind of the closest thing you're going to get.
Definitely.
Is, well, that's where people are, you know, yeah. And are you providing value to people in those groups?
Yeah.
You know, so it, you know, certainly there was, you know, a client I was dealing with a couple of weeks ago, and they were, we were talking about the groups thing. Like, oh, I hadn't really thought about that. I'm like, mm-hmm.
Yeah, a lot of people don't even think about that other side of it, but it can be extremely powerful, extremely useful. And I've even got some opportunities to speak at, you know, overseas, and a lot of the time just pro bono, just for awareness, but all through groups and international groups, which has been fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the thing. And going back to your point about saying about how, can't believe how active people are on social,
yeah.
you know, over the past few months. There's been a lot of networking groups that I've been involved in that all of a sudden they've gone international, or yeah. they've gone beyond just being a local group. And that's how I met you.
Yeah, you absolutely. Know? We met through some mutual friends on a group. Yep.
Yeah. And it's kind of like, it's a weird thing that why have we all kind of gone, oh yeah, we don't actually just need to stick to Sydney or Glasgow, or, you know, we can actually just engage with people anywhere on the planet, because the work that we're doing is digital.
Absolutely.
You know, we're not building houses, you know, yeah. And I think it's so interesting just how the mindset has just shifted. To it's, you know, yes, we can actually look globally, you know, yeah. and network globally.
I agree. And I think we were chatting about this as well just before we started recording the session, in that, you know, we've got used to a new type of normal, and a lot of it suits us, a lot of it is comfortable. So when we move forward, it'd be nice to have a bit of a hybrid as to what was and what is now.
Yeah.
I think that's a good
point. I mean, I was talking to a music friend of mine yesterday. He runs a shop locally, a music shop, which obviously has been largely closed due to the lockdown situation. But he also has an online side of the business, yeah. which has actually been sustaining him throughout. Because obviously people are kind of like, kids are stuck at home, and it would be really good if we could get musical instruments for them to play. You know, there's that. But and we were just talking about that, you know, that whole thing about people are all online and just looking for different things. They're looking for different ways to stay active.
Yep.
But I was saying to him that my life, like everybody's, has slowed down dramatically. It's less hectic, less frantic.
Yep.
And I would quite like to keep it that way.
Yeah.
You know, and if I, you know, there's going to be periods where it gets a bit busier, you know, or kind of running around a wee bit more. But certainly, like normally on a Tuesday, Tuesday for me would always just be insanely busy.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd maybe do a couple of calls in the morning, and maybe have a meeting. And this is pre-Zoom, if you think about it in those terms, right? I would go and have a meeting with somebody in the morning, which would involve me going somewhere. Right. And I'd always be trying to squeeze that in, because I then would have to be over doing this choir project, which is maybe about 45 minutes away from my house.
Right.
So drive for 45 minutes, do the choir for an hour, and then drive for 45 minutes, either come home or go to the studio. So then I'd have an hour between then doing another choir project.
Oh my God.
And then when I finished that, I would have half an hour, 45 minutes, to then go from one side of town to the next, to where my studio is, and I'd normally have a studio session from 7 to 11 at night.
Wow.
So that's kind of like a typical Tuesday.
Yeah. And look how much time you spent in the car traveling.
Exactly.
Yep.
And now I'll have that meeting on Zoom.
On Zoom.
I'm now doing choir projects on Zoom.
Oh, wow.
Because we're not actually able to do any of that in the real world. Probably not going to be able to do that anytime this year.
Yeah.
And in that session that I was doing with a client from 7 to 11, over the past few months, we've been able to do that online as well. And we've just got back to, in the past 2 weeks, doing that in the real world.
Wow, isn't it amazing?
And the fact that, you know, it's like I'm able to keep that client going.
Yep.
The whole time during lockdown has been amazing.
Absolutely. Yep.
You know.
Absolutely.
But yeah, no, it's strange how you adjust, and then you kind of like actually quite like.
Yeah. Human being adapts and evolves, and is very resilient. Absolutely. If it's taught us anything, it's that, you know. And we do. We've adjusted so quickly. And everybody's just getting on with it. You know, sure, it is nice every now and again to have a break and see someone face to face and get out of the virtual world. But, you know, for me, it's been working really well. And I think it's fantastic. And it's actually brought loads of opportunities as well.
Absolutely. What would you say is, with, you know, the clients that you've been dealing with, what's been kind of their main obstacle or the main kind of problem that they've been kind of looking to kind of get past?
Yeah. Like I'm finding at the moment, a lot of people, like they might ask it in a few different ways, but it all boils down to the same type of thing, and something that we covered actually the other day in a webinar that I was doing. And then when people just don't know what strategy to put in place, how do they actually make content? How do they keep persistent and keep in front of their audience regularly? And what type of content do they need to keep doing? So I came back to this three words really: quality, variety, and consistency. Mm-hmm. And for me, as you mentioned earlier, you mentioned pretty much the same thing. If people really just take the time to think about putting together quality work, doesn't have to be perfection, but just something that's quality and engaging, you know, not boring, as you mentioned, do it consistently. And try and come at people from a slightly different angle as well. You know, one day if it's audio, one day it's video, one day it's a written blog post, one day it's long, one day it's short. You know, if just like anything, if you eat the same thing every day, you're going to get bored.
Exactly. Yeah. So mix it up.
Hitting people from a million angles. So you keep your audience engaged and they're always wondering what's coming next. And that's how you build your following, And then they actually will search for you because they'll be looking forward to what you're going to do next. You know, so I kind of just brought it down to those three things, but that's pretty much what we've been talking about.
No, absolutely. You know, and it always comes down to that same thing. It's like, don't be boring, be consistent, you know?
Yeah, so true.
No, but I've found that there was a client who I was talking to last week, and they were asking, they were kind of like, oh, I never really thought of, for example, they never thought of podcasting as a way to go for their business, because they're thinking, well, how would that work? And I'm like, well, it can work in any number of ways, you know? And because of the nature of what it is that they're doing, there's the brand building aspect of it, just from sharing content that is about the nature of the business that they're in, that people would just find it entertaining and engaging from that point of view. But and then there's the lead gen side of things, where because you're in front of people, then it's like, oh yeah, we have this as well. People are then subtly seeing the products and services that these people have, but you know, rather than the hard sell.
Yeah.
You know?
And I'm glad you brought that up, you know, because that's another phenomenon or another trend that I'm seeing, is that everybody is absolutely fascinated at the moment by podcasts and podcasters, and everybody is dying to get on a podcast to share their message. And the most interesting thing is, podcasting has been around for 10 plus years, but it's almost made a resurgence. Maybe it's because it's digital now, it's easy to put together, it's easy to be on a podcast. It's just become crazy.
I think there's several things to that. I think all of those the points that you make are spot on. I also think that there's just been such a massive overdevelopment of data/data that, you know, like, we're just inundated with content from everywhere. So podcasting has become this thing that, because it can be passive, you know, we can be in the car doing something, or we can be, you know, cooking a meal, or we can be doing something else whilst we're listening to a podcast. Whereas if it's a video, or, you know, you're visually drawn to that and you can't really be doing something else, but you can have a podcast going on in the background whilst you're doing some other activity. And because we're kind of pulled this way and that, with so many, you know, our attention is constantly being drawn to different things. That kind of passive consumption has just gone on the rise. People are like, yeah, I'm really interested in this content, but I've got a really busy life.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, and actually the thing for me that's quite interesting is that I've hardly listened to podcasts over lockdown.
Really?
Because I normally listen to podcasts when I'm traveling.
Yep. True. In the car.
And because I haven't been traveling anywhere, I haven't been listening to podcasts.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's quite an interesting one. I normally, you know, I'd be maybe on the train, or, you know, or in the car, or whatever. So I think it's a lifestyle thing as well, more than anything else.
That's, you know, a really good point. I never really thought of it that way, but I think that's another really powerful point of why podcasting has really taken off and continues to grow. Because it is, it's a great way to get content that's useful to you and valuable to you in a very passive way, and you can multitask.
Yeah.
That's really, I like it.
But I mean, and that's the thing, is that, you know, as humans, we're either going to consume it by reading it, by listening to it, or viewing it.
Yeah.
And certainly for me, there's times when I'm in the mood to read. I mean, I love all three, so I love to read.
Yeah.
But there's times I can't be arsed reading a book, you know, so I'm like, I might listen to a podcast then, or, you know, so it's always going to be one of the three. But what suits your lifestyle today? You know, are you going to find have you got the time to sit and, you know, watch a video, or are you going to be that busy? You're just going to have something on in the background, yeah. You know? So Yeah, I mean, like you say, it's been around for years and years, but there wasn't the same demands on our attention. I think it's like the cumulative effect of smartphones and smart devices and all this kind of thing, and apps.
Yeah.
And then the fact that all of us have the ability to create all of this content on a phone. Actually, it's funny. I was talking to my wife the other day about 12 years ago, I was working with this boy band, and we did like an internet TV show. And this wasn't really, you know, it was quite hard to do back then because it was pre-smartphones just. Yeah. And so literally we had a guy from like the local college who got a camera, and he would come around and film all the, so it was basically kind of like a fake reality TV show.
Yeah.
And everything was set up, everything about it was totally fake.
Yep.
But you know, he would, you know, with the camera and the tapes and all this kind of stuff. And then, you know, he would then give me the tapes, and then I'd have to then copy the content from the tapes onto a hard drive and then edit it together and then compress the files. And it was a mammoth job.
Wow.
And I said to my wife, I think it was yesterday, the day before, I said, you know what? If we were doing the boys' show now, we could literally just do it on a phone. The entire show.
Crazy. Yep.
You know, and it's like unbelievable, you know, the fact that anybody can do that now. Yep. You know,
anybody can do anything. We're all the producers of our own documentary story film.
Exactly. And it's that Gary Vee thing that he always says about before you're any, whatever your business is, before you're that, you're a media company first.
So true.
You know, and it is, you know, it's so true. It's just you have the wherewithal to be able to do it because you have a phone.
Yeah.
You know, it's when people are like, oh, do I have the equipment? Yeah. Have you got a smartphone? Done.
Yeah. That's it. Yeah. And that's actually a good point about podcasting. A lot of people don't realize how cost effective and how easy it is to get started. They think it's a whole mammoth process where you have to buy all this equipment and maybe rent a studio, and no, don't need any of it.
I mean, and you can do it that way.
You can.
You know, and it totally depends on the kind of show that you're doing and who's involved and whatever. But I think as Zoom has shown us, you know, you can do it that way. I mean, For years I was wanting to do a video version of my podcast, and then I was like, Zoom, duh. You know, and I couldn't believe how easy it was to then just do it, you know.
Oh, absolutely.
You overthink it.
Absolutely. When I started podcasting last year, you know, I was bringing in some people to help me film stuff, and then we had to set up, you know, and sync audio with video, and it was a very complicated task, as you know, being a musician and an engineer. Now with Zoom, you get two files, off you go, done. Quick as
anything. Absolutely. I mean, and the thing is, like for me, I'm kind of like, why would you really want to do it any other way?
Yeah.
You know, same like thing. You don't have to.
No.
I mean, from a quality to point of view, fair enough. If you're Joe Rogan and you're going to get paid millions to do it, then you've got, you know, you have the resources there. Let's get some cameras and fine, fair enough. But, you know, you can literally do it like this and connect with whoever.
Yeah.
You know? So I think the long and the short of this very labored point is effectively, you don't have any excuses for not doing it.
Yep. I like it. So true. Technology is so easy to adapt, so easy to use. If you don't know something, jump on Google. It'll pull out five articles within 2 minutes. You'll know exactly what you have to do, and you're up and running.
Exactly. I mean, I've literally done everything. I've learned how to do most things that I do through Google.
Yep. So easy.
You know, I mean, an awful lot of the things that I do now and I earn a living from are just acquired skills over the years because, all right, was that the thing now? I guess I got to learn how to do that.
Yeah.
You know, and I think this is the thing that was really weird for me whenever I first started business networking and meeting people, you know, outside of the music industry, because it was, for me, it was always music industry first. I would meet all these people and I was always really surprised that they only did one job.
Yeah.
You know, it was kind of like, that's it. That's all you do. and whenever you're, you know, a freelancer, you know, it's kind of like, okay, you're going to be the content creator person. You're going to do the audio. You're going to do the picture. You're going to do the video. You're going to be the marketing guy. You're going to be the sales guy.
Yeah.
You know, all of that. And so much of it is just being, all right, I guess I got to do that. So whenever I meet these people, and it's kind of like, I'm like, hold on, you just do that? I do that.
Yeah.
Along with the 12 other things that I'll do today.
Yeah. Like being an entrepreneur in this day and age forces you to become a jack of all trades. You don't have a choice.
Yeah. I think, you know, and that's it. You know, you need to just think of everything, yeah. You know. But there's another thing, you know, that whole term, you know, entrepreneur.
Yeah.
I would describe myself as somebody who has entrepreneurial tendencies, but not an entrepreneur. I think we might have spoken about this before, but the whole idea, I think if you're Richard Branson or some, you know, Elon Musk, and you're wanting to change the world, yeah, or do some grandiose kind of scheme or employ loads of people and scale and build a business, then you're an entrepreneur.
Yeah, I agree.
But I think if you're a small business owner who's kind of thinking in an entrepreneurial way, that's a completely different thing.
Yeah, I agree with you. I'm the same. I like my simple one-man show existence in what, yeah, I do. And I am very creative and I love to think laterally and adapt and evolve. Yeah. But I don't have any aspiration to scale and do all that kind of stuff.
Same here. Here's a question for you, right?
Yeah, sure.
Are there any new skills that you have acquired due to lockdown? Have you been sort of forced to kind of do that, you know, adapting? I mean, obviously we're working online and we're normally the people who are training other people to work online.
Yeah, yeah.
Excuse me. But has it been something that you kind of like, you know what, I didn't do that beforehand and now I'm doing it all the time?
Good one. I would say getting comfortable with talking to a camera, because that's something that we didn't do a lot before. You know, we spoke normally, and even during this interview, I'm allowing myself to just look at you because we're having a really cool casual chat, and you know, I really enjoy that.
As opposed to looking
at the camera, yeah, while I speak. I've kind of trained myself, if I have to kind of, yeah, do a whole interview where I'm looking straight at the camera and I might just glance down for a second. That took at least, yeah, a few months of training. Really amazing.
No, absolutely. And that's something that for ages, there's some friends of mine who I'm still kind of like, you're still looking at yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
whenever you're doing videos, yeah, you know, you're looking at yourself on the camera. You're not connecting with the audience. Then, you know, you won't look down the lens.
Like the news readers would have been. And it kind of goes hand in hand with your point a bit earlier when you said you have to be engaging, and
yeah,
you have to engage an audience, especially through video means, you have to look dead straight through the camera because your audience has to think that you're talking to them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? Whereas if you start looking like over here and over here, you lose people quickly.
I think the really funny thing has been, you know, whenever you, we've been seeing like newsreaders and people who are normally TV presenters or whatever, and they've been doing things from home on Zoom.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you kind of like, how come you don't know that you need to look at the lens?
Yeah, agree. I noticed that as well. Yeah.
Yeah. You're like, did nobody tell you that?
I mean, you know why? Because there's no teleprompter. That's why.
Yeah. And you just kind of like, think of it the same way. It's the same. That's your, like, it. Whenever you're on TV, you're looking at the camera.
Yep.
Straight. Same deal.
Yeah. What about you? What have you kind of been forced to upskill in or grow in over the last little while?
I would say the webinar thing, and it's something that I'm very much still developing, because I'm going to be doing my own webinars, because mostly I've been doing webinars for other people. Gotcha. But effectively putting together, you know, a PowerPoint on a webinar that's not tedious.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, ordinarily, if I'm in the real world, I don't like to use a lot of PowerPoint. Mm-hmm. But just the nature of the way things are, it's instructive, you know, and I have to kind of really use it.
Especially on Zoom, actually. It does help a lot to a virtual meeting. It makes a big difference.
Yeah. And to be honest with you, the thing is, as well as the with a lot of the webinars that I've been doing, there's so much information.
Yeah.
So what I do is everybody who will be on any of the webinars that I do, they all end up getting a copy of the slides anyway.
Right.
So I will kind of effectively break the cardinal rule of PowerPoint and have shitloads of information on a slide. Because I'm kind of like, okay, we're going to cram all this into an hour, but with the view that you're going to have all of this to dissect and look at later.
Gotcha. Yep.
So this is all the information that I want you to have to take away and apply. You're not going to, in an hour, suddenly know how to apply this to your business. You need to go away, look at it, dissect it, and go through it and think, okay, how can I apply this to my business? But right. You're then going to have it as reference material.
Yeah.
So, again, you know, if that was in the real world, I wouldn't have necessarily a top 10 list of these are the things you should do.
Yep.
You know, and it can be quite wordy, but I think just due to the nature of it as well, it's kind of like, no, I want you to be able to take something that's practical and useful and use this whenever you kind of you're done with the meeting. Yeah, I would say that has been the key thing, and appreciating that it's just a gig.
Yeah.
For me, it's just the same as being on stage. And that's actually, to be honest with you, that I've actually had to dial it back, because I'm kind of like, camera. Ooh, there's a camera. It's a stage.
Grab my guitar.
Exactly. So. And the amount of times I'm kind of like, Greg, you're not doing a routine. You're not doing a comedy bit. Just kind of give them the information and leave. But having said that, you know, the thing that I have really enjoyed about doing the webinars is that why can't it be entertaining? Why can't it be funny? Or, and that's when I have been doing the webinars, everyone's been saying, okay, that was really interesting. That was a lot of fun. But you really knew what you're talking about. It was very useful, blah, blah, blah. So I kind of, I think learning how to be okay with that, I think has been the thing as well. It's just that bridging the two worlds of me as a performer and me as a I was going to use the word educator, but a marketer, really, you know.
Host or webinar.
Yes, yeah.
Presenter.
I think, you know, yeah, and it's just like, okay, kind of, so we're somewhere in between.
Yeah, yeah.
And just kind of getting used to how that works.
Yeah.
I've never done anything like that before. I mean, obviously, yeah, doing either. Presenting, you know, in the real world is one thing.
Yeah, yeah, and also I found that, like, it is quite, you know, it does take a little time to get used to presenting to even a Zoom meeting or a virtual webinar with 40 or 50 people sometimes, even if it's a networking meeting. It's I'm actually talking to 50 people right now. That's taking a little bit of getting used to.
The funny thing was the first webinar that I did, they said, yeah, we've got actually quite a few people booked for it. I'm like, oh, okay, right. And whenever I first started, and I literally was doing the sort of opening couple of slides just before I started. I could see there was about, you know, 18, 20 people on. I was like, okay, fine. And they said, no, there's a bunch of people coming on as well. So, okay. And then what happened was I got to the end of the thing, and then I kind of, you know, sort of closed my slides, and there was about 55 people there.
Wow.
And I was like,
whoa.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
There was, you know, it was 55 people there the whole time. But that's the thing, you just don't know. It's, you know, whenever you're in a real room and you're like, there's all these people.
Yeah.
But literally people can join that call and you're like, oh my God, there's like how many people?
Yeah. And actually I by the same token, here's another fun thing. I had to record a pre-recorded presentation for a global marketing conference the other day. So I had to be at home, lights on, mic ready, dressed up, going through the whole presentation, knowing that I'm just talking to my camera and it's just being recorded and there's no one even listening to me. That was quite difficult. Like keeping the energy up without even knowing that
I'm not getting anything back.
Yeah, zero. Kind of weird.
Yeah, it's a weird one.
Yeah, really weird.
Yeah. But I suppose, I mean, I've actually got to do that. Like I've got to do a 4-part web training thing for this company. And it's going to be that, it's going to be the same thing. It's like 4 parts and it's going to be, you know, an hour long each time. I'm kind of like,
wow.
Right. And there's nobody there.
Yeah.
So it's quite a weird kind of thing. But I suppose it's like whenever comedians are talking about, you know, they're trying to do like comedy online.
Yep.
You know, or anything like that. Same with trying to do music as well, whenever you're getting zero feedback or the delay, you know, it's just not the same.
Yeah, definitely. There's certain things that where you need that energy back from the audience to keep you going, and you know, presenting and music and comedy and entertainment is all are those things. That's really interesting.
Yeah, I mean, the audience is part of it.
You know, sure.
It feeds it. For sure. So what about yourself? What have you got coming up at the moment, Darren?
So just a lot of, you know, same old stuff. I do a lot of photography. So my photography is starting to pick up a little bit. I've been doing lots of headshots, lots of bit of corporate work. Then doing lots of social media stuff, doing some webinars, doing some marketing courses, some podcast courses. And what else do I do? Yeah, so just kind of, and obviously working on content, you know, just getting my content out there. Trying to be religious every day if I can, putting out some stuff that's interesting and has some variety, and just keep on pumping out the strategy.
Yeah, that's, I mean, practicing what we preach, isn't it?
Yeah. Indeed.
Well, I'm in the middle of a video edit today, which is kind of tedious, but it is what it is. So as soon as I've got that out of the way, then I'm going to do a marketing strategy plan for our business this week.
Yeah, nice.
Which is, that's actually quite fun because it's just like, I've got loads of mad, crazy ideas, whether they adopt them or not is totally up to them. But,
that's my favorite part as well. My favorite thing is coming up with ideas and strategies because, you know, it's just your brain, your creative juices start flowing and, you know, you really feel alive because all these neurons are firing and these ideas are coming to you saying, well, where did that come from? Wow, I didn't even think I could come up with that. I love that.
Yeah.
So cool.
Quick music question for you.
Yeah,
is there anything that you're listening to at the moment that's new that I might not have heard of, that's kind of like a cool thing that's happening over there?
Not really. Like I've been listening to a lot of old stuff lately.
See, this is the curse of guys in our 40s. That's what we do. Largely.
And I'm in going back to Steve Winwood.
Oh, yes.
Chris Christopherson. I've been seeing some old stuff. Prince. I actually watched, speaking of Prince, we always get onto the topic of Prince when we talk about music. But someone on social media mentioned to me, I think I put out a post the other day, and I think I tagged you in on it. I said, this is too good not to share. It was Prince doing a guitar solo. And he was
Tom Petty,
He was insane. And then someone else, a respondent, said, oh, Prince is my favorite artist. Have you seen the documentary? And I said, whoa, is there a new documentary? She said, yeah, it was called Purple Rain. I said, oh, of course. But I said, like, it's semi-biographical. And it was from ages ago. I don't know how many years ago. So I actually re-watched it, and I loved it.
I think I've seen that one.
Purple Rain, the actual movie where he acts as, you know, as a musical artist.
And Purple Rain,
the movie. Yeah.
Are you? Did you never seen it?
Oh yeah, I've seen it years ago. And right, then I right, rewatched right, right. it again, and I said, "Oh yeah. I'm loving this. This is awesome."
It's funny. I kind of
love it.
Whenever he died, around the time he died, I kind of went through all that stuff again. You know.
Yeah.
But, the thing that I'm actually super excited about just now is that there's a deluxe version of Sign of the Times, which is coming out in September.
Wow.
And my brother Ed, who is super lovely and nice, ordered it for me. And it's like 8 discs at least, you know, and there's something like 46 unreleased tracks that are on it.
That's insane.
And that kind of, that era of Prince was kind of like my absolute favorite for me.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So I think that's the month of September taken up for me. that's basically what I'll be doing, you know.
Absolutely, man.
But anyway, good to chat, sir.
Yeah, great chat. Always have a pleasure chatting with you, and I love where our conversations, you know, move through to. You never know what we're going to chat about, and that's what I love about it.
Absolutely. No idea what the hell's going on at all. Yeah. I think the hilarious thing is you're in Sydney, I'm in Glasgow. It's 24 degrees there.
Yep.
It's pissing down here,
yep.
But I look like I'm in some sun-kissed island.
You've just stepped off, you know, the Calvin Klein underwear model shoot or something.
Oh, I wish. Good. That'll be a nice one. But
hair and makeup has been done.
Look, oh God, yeah. Man. But I'm glancing out that window there, and it is chucking it down outside.
Wow,
it is horrendous. Jesus. Anyway, good to chat, sir. And
good to chat, my man.
We will catch up again soon, and let's not leave it like as long.
Definitely, good idea. We'll try and do it every month.
Yes, indeed. All right, Darren. Talk to you soon.
Bye, man. See you soon.
Take care. Bye.